Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Skankfest 2019, presented by Infinite CBD.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
The world's first comedy party, Skankfest NYC, is back, and we're going bigger than ever before.
Holy shit, I've done so much to make this a thing.
It was a lot.
Were you not a part of history?
This year, we have 3 full days of Skank festivities.
June 21st through 23rd at the Brooklyn Bazaar in Brooklyn, New York.
They want to hear the blop blop.
Of course they want to hear the blop blops.
They want it.
Over 150 stand-up comedians and live podcasts.
Including the Legion of Skanks, Ari Shaffir, Dan Soder, Michael Che, Cumtown, Janine Garofalo, the Lucas Brothers, Nate Bargatze, Kurt Metzger, Jake the Snake Roberts, Doug Benson, Tony Hinchcliffe, the Goddamn Comedy Jam, Robert Kelly, Bonnie McFarlane, Rich Voss, The Anthony Cumia Show, Believe You Me with Michael Bisping, Ron Bennington, and many, many more.
It is the Legion of Skanks.
Skankfest NYC is back.
There was a fantastic universal sense that whatever we were doing was right, that we were winning.
Tickets are on sale now at skankfestnyc.com. Infinite CBD presents Skankfest 2019.
It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
We're with Randall Stank, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband.
Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
All right, we're back. Live from Jamaica, part 2. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez, and...
Kim Congdon.
What up, girl?
Hey.
How are we feeling? It's the last day.
I'm sad.
Are you sad?
Yeah. I don't want to leave.
We can just stay.
Yeah, we could.
Technically, I could just give up on my family, my multiple businesses, comedy career, comedy festival.
We could just stay.
We could just stay in Jamaica.
Just these two mics and this computer.
And we're going to run out of money in about 3 weeks.
Yes.
It's over. It's over. At this rate?
Yeah. We've been going hard.
I know. Here's that's the thing. At the end of a vacation, I do feel, sad that we're leaving. I do feel like kind of like, fuck. I want to stay. I wish we were staying.
Right.
But I also feel very motivated to get back to reality and to get back to work and to... make shit happen, because then the next vacation will happen, and you have to go back to reality. And these little things give me the motivation to go back and do. I recharge, and I'm like, well, now I have to go bigger and better the next time.
It's like when you were a kid in elementary school and you had Christmas break and you had bad grades before, and then like right when you were going back, you're like, this is like a new year, basically.
Yes.
I'm gonna get good grades again. I'm gonna start over fresh.
I would never have that conversation. The reality is, I just sort of. I never really cared about having good grades. It was never going to be a thing in my life where I was like, I'm going to have good grades.
I was always a C student. C's.
Yeah. I was just barely passing. That's what I would do. I would just pass. But then the things that I really liked to do, I would excel at.
Me
would,
too.
Like photography, I would have like 100 average.
I would have C's in everything except for like English or creative writing. And then I'd have like 103.
Yeah.
Then like... 70s and everything.
There's certainly certain math classes I did really well in, certain English. It's just, it depended also the teacher and the type of class it was, because when it was more creative stuff, I did very well. But like when it came down to like, English, like where I had to actually know the differences between an adverb and an adjective, mm-hmm. and a conjunction and all that shit, like I just wasn't the kid. Like, I don't even know if I could tell you what an adverb is now. I know an adjective and a conjunction, but I don't know if I could tell you what an adverb is right now. Could you?
No.
Wow. Wow. We're dumb.
An adverb? I know what a verb is. An adverb? Probably. I don't know. What the fuck is it? Verb is jump. Is an adverb like jumping?
Let's see. I'll tell you right now. Let's see. What is an adverb?
Or is jumping still a verb?
A word or phrase that modifies or qualifies an adjective, verb, or other adverb or a word group expressing the relation of place, time, circumstance, and manner. That doesn't make any sense.
But
example,
adverb...
gently, quite.
Oh, okay, I get it. Like what the word you describe before you describe the verb. So it'd be like, doggy, if you're jumping, is... you're like excitedly
he jumped
jumping.
Wildly. Wildly would be the adverb.
Sure.
Nice. Okay. All right. I got it, guys.
We got it.
Okay, look, we just learned. We just taught you guys as well.
But now we're interested. That's why we learned that.
Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. See, but now I learned more in that moment. In this moment. I learned more in that moment than I learned in years of going to school.
Sure.
Is that crazy?
No.
Years of going to school. I'd never sunk in to my head until it really mattered. And when it mattered, it was literally because I'm on a podcast yapping about it. And I was like, oh, I want to know what that is. But that's the only time it became relevant in my life.
Yeah. You know, I think it'd be fun to Billy Madison it and like be able to do like 2 weeks of every grade to see how much you can learn as an adult now.
Yeah.
I think that would be like a fun thing to do.
I'd go fucking nail it.
Like I'd be you the just king. Have 2 weeks to learn whatever they're going to do for the year.
Just finger popping fifth graders.
Okay.
What?
That's not.
I was saying you.
It's not exactly
you
what
you would
meant.
Be while I'm filming it. It'd no. be like a thing we did.
No.
We wouldn't go back and have threesomes.
Nope.
They're so impressionable.
Nope. But yeah, I would like to go back to high school and be able to. I feel like I would be able to do way better now.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I know. I have a better understanding of what school is, right? So school, it is just a, it's sort of like a test for life. You know, can you show up and can you kind of navigate this system and get through it? And that sort of lets you know that. At the very least, if you do it at a high level, you're going to be okay because school is sort of based off of the everyday work life, right? Mm-hmm. So you know, it's a 9-to-5 schedule. You have a boss, you have specific tasks to do, and you have to have them by certain deadlines. And you kind of do this, and then you get ready for the real world, and it spits you out, and you go into another system just like that. And you know, for the vast majority of people in the world, you know, school is probably a great way to kind of get through that. And, you know, if you do well, you'll probably do pretty decent in a regular job work environment.
Right.
But it can also be kind of symbolic as well. So I'm not teaching my son that he's, you know, that's the fucking traditional, you know, route. I'm not teaching him that. I'm not teaching him that he's going to go to school and graduate and get the best grades so he can go off and have some job and have some boss. It's a little bit different. You know, he's going to go well and do well in school because this is almost like a puzzle. You know, it's like, can you do this puzzle really well? Simple as that. If you can do that, you could probably do anything else, and that's not that important. Don't worry. Showing up on time and doing the test and passing and listening to the teacher, that's not what's important. What's important is being able to sort of navigate in at a high-level way so you can show that you have the mental capacity to do whatever you want to do, you know, and having that type of control of yourself and your environment, I think is really, really, really important, you know. And I think if somebody would have kind of showed it to me that way instead of, like, being like, sit in that fucking chair, you have to do this, you have to do it a certain way, I wouldn't have been so against doing well in school because right. I definitely had an issue with, like, authority. I had an issue with, like, people kind of talking down to me. And I never, at a very young age, in my head, even whether I was right or wrong, at a very young age, I started thinking that I was smarter than my teachers. Like a really, really young age. Like elementary school, I started going like, no, I know better than this person. I remember in the sixth grade getting into an argument with the teacher. In the sixth grade, and we were just talking about like morality. I don't even know how we got here in this class. We were talking about morality, right? And I just was sort of making the point that, well, no, I mean, everyone has their own set of morals. You can move the line. You know, the line, you know, my moral code is different than your moral code. And she just wouldn't give this up. Like, wouldn't give up this point. And I was just going like, okay, so you're just being, like, in my head, I'm like, you're just a stubborn bitch. I'm not even wrong about this. There's not even a debate. And in my head, I remember just going like, oh, wow, I'm not even, like, playing a game here. It's like, you just think because you're the authority, you can do whatever you want to do. And for me, it was weird. Like, every once in a while, I just feel like if she would have given me that, if she would have been like, oh, no, you're right there, and she would have just said, oh, like, about that one argument, I think I would have respected her more.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I had this teacher in fifth grade. She was a math teacher. Her name was Miss Paleta. Can I say people's names?
Yeah, sure.
And she was a fucking
she raped me.
Bitch. She was a angry. She was a teacher that like the first day of class, or like, you know, when you got like the teacher's names before school and then like everyone talked about if that the same class, everybody's like, oh, you got Miss Pallada. My brother had her last year. She was the worst.
Notorious. Yeah.
Yes. And she was like, she was actually, I would say, probably borderline emotionally abusive. She would call kids stupid. She would call on you. She would make the whole class stare at you. She was like fucked up. And I remember she called me stupid one day. And I was so fucking upset about it, I told my mom. And my mom's like a crazy Puerto Rican woman. My mom showed up the next day and fucking basically yanked her out of the classroom and threatened to beat her ass. And this lady was so nice to me for the rest of the year. But, like, it was crazy to think that, like, she was just allowed to call kids stupid. That was
a regular thing. I mean, stupid. Are you kidding me? That would be
she's like, are you stupid?
My principal, Mr. Lefevre, told me that I was not going to graduate. I remember he looked at me. He was like, you are not going to graduate from this high school. You should drop out. Crazy. I mean, and that was the biggest motivation in the world. Maybe that was his own way of being a bad fucking, you know, maybe he was a brilliant. Look, maybe at 37
years
old,
who you were.
I can recognize maybe. I don't think this is the case, but maybe he was like, this is the motivation that this kid's going to need. And I'm going to have to give him some tough love because I graduated. I don't think so. I think
maybe.
He was a piece of shit.
He might have known.
I don't think so. I think he was a piece of shit. I really do. I think that he looked at me in my face because there was no part of me at the moment where I was like, you'll see. No, I was going into a fucking PM school program. I was being expelled. You know what I'm saying? It was fucking crazy. It was like, in spite of him and in spite of everything else, like, that was sort of a great motivation, but I don't believe that was the technique that he was using. I genuinely think he was trying to hurt a kid's feelings because that's fucking sometimes what these people do. You gotta understand, teachers as well, they are just people like you and I. Mm-hmm. Teachers, forget, I'm 37. Most teachers are younger than me at this point. Every teacher's younger than me when they're starting out their career. So it's like, yeah, dude, they get fucking spiteful and they have bad days.
Jim Jeffries has a funny joke about the like teachers and guns, how they're talking about like giving teachers guns. And he's like, that's such a stupid idea. He's like, because sometimes everybody gets a little sad. It's just like,
that's funny.
It just like normalizes
that's a
teachers.
Great joke.
He's like, do you remember how we used to treat teachers when they would fucking just start screaming?
I used to put thumbtacks on my teacher's seat.
You're like classic
in
kid
sixth
bullying.
Grade. I would put thumbtacks on my teacher's
seat. We would
steal
out of the teacher's desk if she left her desk unlocked.
100%. She had a flag from France. We took it and we just threw it away and she cried in front of us.
Yeah, no, give her a gun. Yeah, give her a fucking gun.
My French teacher, Miss Martinez, who Mr. Lefevre was fucking, left his wife for, by the way. Boom.
No.
Swear to God. True story. They ended up getting married afterwards.
Hot.
She's Mrs. Lefevre now. She was hot too. She was actually a hot Latina chick. And she would say racist shit to kids all the time. One of my sister told me that she was in her French class. There was an Asian kid in her class. I guess somebody spilled something on his shirt or ink or something. And then the teacher was like, what do you care? Your parents probably own a dry cleaners anyway. This is like straight up like, that's kind of funny. I appreciate it. I don't mind it. You know, she's the original Kim Congdon.
Wow.
Battle.
So, I remember a kid in class.
I don't remember where I was. Hold on. What was I talking about before I got into Miss Martinez and the... I have ADD. I'm high as fuck right now.
Me too. I'm really high.
We've been smoking hash all morning. It's 8:30 in the morning right now in Jamaica. I got to Miss Martinez because Mr. Lefevre told me I was never going to graduate. He ended up fucking her. What we would do to the teachers. You were saying how you wouldn't want to give them a gun. That's a great point. I've made this point for a long time about guns specifically. About gun control. Like, I'm such an angry guy. This is why I think nobody should have guns. And this is, people think, and I'm not like anti-gun. I'm not like, I've held a gun. I'll go to a shooting range.
Literally,
now.
A fan brought a gun in his trunk. This is why Lewis shouldn't have a gun. A fan brought a gun to show Lewis after a show. And I go back there because they're on like the trunk of this car. And the first thing Lewis does is point it at me. I mean, first thing. The only thing you're not supposed to do with a real gun. And he's like, it's not even loaded. But everybody is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. All right, put it back.
Finger
like,
wasn't on the trigger and gun wasn't even loaded. And yeah, it was a stupid move. I admit it. But like, I mean, stop exaggerating. Stop like telling the story like I just brandished a gun at you out of anger.
You didn't do it out of anger. You did it out of stupidity, which is almost even worse.
I did it out of hilariousness. I made the point yesterday, we were on the boat, and it's like, we were like speeding through the water, we were fishing, and if I like just kicked Kim off the boat, we would all admit, even her would admit it's pretty funny if I kicked off the boat and she had to flip and climb back onto the boat, but if she got attacked by sharks and died, it would just be murder. The side of it being a
the
joke.
The line is so thin.
Yeah, like nobody would like, it would be nobody would be like, oh, but he was being funny. And it's like, but dude, if she didn't get attacked, everyone would be high-fiving right now and fucking going, that was fucking great. Remember the time you kicked Cam off the
boat? How many guys have accidentally murdered their girlfriend and then just been like, she fell off?
Because
it was like a joke and they pushed her.
Yeah.
And then they were like, she fell off. And that's it.
That's it. That's it. Because every time you're sitting on the edge of a boat, anytime I've been on a cruise with you, we've been on boats together, anytime you're sitting on the edge of a boat, my thought is push her off the boat right now. This would be so funny. Everyone would laugh. It would be a party. Fireworks would go off.
Right, totally.
But only if you lived. Only if you climbed back on that boat. The fireworks would be going off. And for like a full minute, we'd all be waiting. And then it would be that awkward silence. Be like, I guess we should put away the fireworks. It's not good. But no, I'm an angry guy. And I feel like I'm not, I've been into like fucking real like angry moments. We got into like crazy fucking fights before where it's like if there was a gun, imagine just throw a gun into the mix. Let's just have a gun in the
house. I wouldn't touch the gun.
I'm saying my point is I might in my years of living, I might have gotten angry to a point in my life where I might have picked up a gun. I'm not saying that I'm stupid enough to kill somebody or I'm tough. I'm saying that I have so little control of myself, and I'm better now than I was when I was younger, but I have so little control of myself that if I had a gun in the mix, I don't think that would have ever ending in a good way. And it could very well go down a path I am killing somebody. I'm saying, like, you see me where I get into, like, an argument with somebody in the street where it's like, right. I've gotten, like, crazy.
Right.
And then I'll imagine I have a gun on me. So the point I'm making
is I could just see you accidentally shooting it, trying to pull it out and, like, not thinking and...
But the point I'm making is I have that self-awareness. You know what I'm saying?
You're like I'm just not going to get a gun. There's a lot
of people that just aren't that self-aware, so we should make it pretty fucking difficult for people. I've never been clinically – I guess I have been clinically diagnosed as, like, certain things, but I'm not like –
Well, I'm learning a lot about you on this podcast.
Well, no, I mean, just like I have, like, you know, ADD.
You kill me with a gun.
Psychological problems.
You're schizophrenic. Okay.
But, no, I mean, I'm just saying, like – I could go get a gun. Like, legally, I could go get a gun in a state that's – any state that is legal to get a gun. I don't have a criminal record. I don't have any psychological issues. I'd pass the test. I could sit there and have a normal conversation and seem like an everyday guy. So I'm just saying there's plenty of other guys that are like me that are out there.
Yeah, but at the same time, even just making those tests possible, even just adding a few, like, things, like, hoops people have to jump through to get it, like – cuts out so many lazy people. I just, even if I wanted a gun and I was okay with one, I wouldn't get one because it just is a process.
You know,
it's like getting
do?
A fucking license.
They should, like, put, like, a Puerto Rican girl behind the counter that has a big attitude, and then they give you the gun and just see how you react.
And see if you kill her. She's behind bulletproof glass.
Yeah.
Do it, motherfucker. Freaking do it, you pussy bitch.
You a faggot. You gay. You won't shoot me.
You won't shoot me. You don't even know what to do with that shit.
Yeah, so that, you know, people are angry. This is an interesting story because you brought up, you know, your mom going into the school. Somebody posted this in the Legion of Skank subreddit.
What?
Which was an interesting story. You're going to think this dad is hot. Garen, first I'm going to show you the picture of this guy, and you're going to be like, all right, definitely your type, like black Puerto Rican.
Let me see.
Without a doubt. No questions asked. Look at him.
Oh, yeah, he's really hot, and I think I already heard about this.
Yeah. So,
is he, like, from our neighborhood? He looks like he lives on our block.
He really does. So, he looks like he's, like, a black Puerto Rican guy. Christopher Freeman was arrested at Bear Lakes Middle School in West Palm Beach, Florida. Floridians.
Mm-hmm.
Around 4 p.m., after a school resource officer told police that he saw a large handgun sticking out of Freeman's pants. According to a school report, Freeman, who arrived in a wheelchair... Wow. Allegedly told school workers they would be dead if they didn't let him speak to his son. Freeman was visibly upset and screaming, "You're going to need more than what you got because of what I got." He also said, "I want to see the guy who slammed his son. I got something for him." So apparently his son was getting in trouble
bullied.
In school. No. I don't think he was being bullied. I think he was getting in trouble.
Wow.
And then he called his dad. And then... this is what the affidavit said. While Freeman was speaking with him, his son was grabbed by an adult and his phone went flying out of his hands. Someone then hung up the phone. Freeman said, according to the police report, Freeman said he was upset and came to the school. He was armed with an AK-47 mini Draco pistol with a 30-round extended magazine. The gun was loaded with one in the chamber.
What?
Doggy.
He came to kill that teacher?
This nigga said, do not put your fucking hands on my kid. I understand the sentiment. His defense is that he didn't know he had the gun on him, and that he said that it was a misunderstanding. He was just upset. Doggy. He was... I almost feel bad because, you know, it's like, first of all, he's in a fucking wheelchair. I don't know why he's in a wheelchair.
They also described it like he just sat in the wheelchair that day. Like, they didn't say, like he showed up in a wheelchair.
If I'm a judge, I always look at these things like I'm a judge, right? If I'm the judge in this case, he's guilty, but I'm definitely taking it easier on him than I am. He's not just some dude who showed up at a school with a gun. He was upset because his son was physically abused by somebody at this fucking school. And any parent can understand the sentiment. I'm just saying, it's the reason I don't have a gun. If somebody slammed my son at his school now, and I had a gun, could I imagine being that far off from doing that? Now, I wouldn't.
It's so crazy
I wouldn't. I'd like to think that I know that if an adult grabbed my son and slammed him to the ground, you wouldn't want to put a gun in my possession at that moment because I don't know where it would go. And
yeah,
I think, would feel that way.
How in that moment can you not think that, like, if you bring a gun and you might get arrested for way longer than people can just physically abuse your son and you won't be there?
Well, that's the point where you would go, you wouldn't do that. The reason that you wouldn't is because logic would take over, and that's not the best. We're all playing a game, right? So that's not the – in this game of chess in life, right, that's not the move. To you know, you love your son, obviously.
He's the most violent Gandhi I've ever met.
But it's true. Violent Gandhi's the name of this episode. But the reality is, you know, this guy loves his son, very clearly loves his son, right? So he's got the goal, I'm assuming, in his life is to have a prosperous life with his son, show his son the best life possible. There's no debate. This guy fucking, to show up in a school like that, you have to fucking really love your kid. You know, but logic would take over, and you would go, I'm not going to play the game that way. That's not going to be the best move in order to, you know, give my son what he wants. You know, I feel bad for the dad. That's the reality, is I really genuinely, legitimately feel bad because he doesn't have the wherewithal to know not to do that. And he probably fucked up the rest of his life, and he probably fucked up his son's life in a really big way because now he's probably not going to have his dad.
And everyone's going to be scared of him.
What, the guy in the wheelchair?
Of the son.
Oh, yeah.
Ass wheelchair dad.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think in the wheelchair, if he would have shot that gun, it would have blasted his wheelchair back? Right back out of the school.
I mean, the other thing is, like, I would also consider that. It's like, he can't actually beat somebody up, so that's why he shows up with a gun. I mean, he's in a wheelchair. What is he going
to
do? Some guy slams
his...
I don't
think it's appropriate to bring a gun into
it's
a
not,
school to
It's
fight
not.
Anyway.
I'm not... do I seem like I'm defending bringing a gun to the school? I'm not.
Yes, absolutely. 100%, you haven't done nothing but defend this.
It's not defending it. I'm saying I feel
bad. Imagine if someone slammed my son. Yeah, I get it. I'd bring a gun. I don't see the wherewithal. You just say wherewithal a bunch to make sense.
You know I'm right here.
No.
Listen, woman, while I do plugs, will you do me a favor?
Make you more coffee?
Just give me another cup of coffee. There's no more sugar, I don't think. We have to get more today. It's our last day here. All right, a sugar man. Just a little bit of milk. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Lord have mercy. I'm offending the staff right now. Kim gets mad because I keep on doing a Jamaican accent while I dance in Jamaicans' faces. I don't think it's that ignorant. I think they think it's charming, if you ask me. All right. I got to talk about this brand new sponsor on the network, which is Abri Vitamins Super Lysine Plus. Here's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to, I think, like one third of the population. What is it? Let me see. How many people have herpes? Let's see. Let's see, two-thirds of the world population has herpes, more than 3.7 billion people under the age of 50, about 67% of the global population are infected with herpes simplex virus type 1. Now look, I'm not a dirty dick motherfucker, okay? I'm not hating. Doggies, look, if I had the herpes, I would tell all you. I would love to be able to connect with you dirty dick motherfuckers. I've been trying to get herpes for years. So there's no part of me, the lifestyle that I've led in my life, I should have everything. I should be HIV fucking positive to the 100th power. It is what it is, man. I have some sort of Puerto Rican genes, so I never caught the herpes. But A lot of you do. 67% of you do, okay? And look, I'm not going to tell nobody. You don't got to tell me. You don't have to do any of that, okay? Because check this out. This is the next generation of lysine. This is going to be some amazing shit, okay? It's an essential amino acid known to help produce body tissues and infection-fighting antibodies. Studies show Super Lysine Plus may reduce the severity of cold sores, herpes, simplex, liblablius, genital herpes, and shingles. It's an all-natural supplement that can boost your immune system and limit the duration of an outbreak. Unlike store-bought lysine that comes in a compressed tablet, Super Lysine Plus comes in an easy-to-swallow vegetarian capsule. Easy to swallow. Some of those ladies know what I'm talking about that's listening to this ad. Each capsule contains 500 milligrams of micronized Super Lysine Plus. It's gluten-free and soy-free. And there's only one place to buy Abri Vitamins Super Lysine Plus, and that's abrivitamin.com. That is abrivitamin.com. 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 Skip the embarrassing lines at the drugstores, okay? You don't have to do this in person anymore. You just go to abrivitamin.com. Boom. You grab your herpes stuff, take that pill. You're not having to worry about anything anymore, okay? Your dick's going to be clean. Your vag is going to be nice. You're not going to have those derps on your lips. Nobody wants those derps on the lips, doggy. You got something important coming up? Nobody wants it, okay? AbriVitamin.com. Make sure you go do that. No doctor swarms. Just click and buy. All right. Let's get back into it.
Really quick. Guys, look. Couple things coming up. Number one, Skankfest tickets are on sale. I think there's 80... all access tickets left. Guys, don't wait. I know people are like, oh, I'll wait. You're not going to get into Saturday. Once all access are gone, it's not like last year where Saturday tickets were available up until the week of the event. Saturday passes are already gone. I'm telling you right now, the way we have to divvy up the passes, there's a certain amount of all access passes, a certain amount of daily passes. We sit there, we do the math on it. There's no more Saturday passes. If you want to come to Skankfest on Saturday, you got to get tickets right now. SkankfestNYC.com. It is a 3-day long comedy party. Featuring the best comics in the entire fucking universe, guys. I'm not kidding around here. Obviously, we have the Legion of Skanks. But this year, we have Ari Shaffir. We have Bonnie McFarlane. We have Corinne Fisher and Kirstina Hutchin, the guys we fuck girls. Dan Soder is coming. Doug Benton's coming. He's also bringing Doug Loves Movies, which is such a fun live podcast. Jake the Snake Roberts is going to be there. Eddie Bravo's going to be there. Janine Garofalo. Jim Florentine, Jimmy Martinez, Joe DeRosa, Kurt Metzger, Joe List. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Guys, do not fuck around here, okay? Right now, go to skankfestnyc.com. Grab your tickets before they sell it. Nate Bargatze is going to be there this year. Michael Che is going to be there this year. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be the biggest Skankfest we've ever done before. And this is also only the people we can announce so far. We're still announcing people, still signing people on. There's special guests, special shows. If you were at Skankfest last year, you know the special guests that showed up. You know the specialty shows, the secret shows that we did. Don't fuck around. SkankfestNYC.com is the website. Grab your tickets right now. 3-day passes are available as we speak. Also, I will be this Thursday through Sunday, I'll be at Uncle Vinny's down the shore, Point Pleasant, New Jersey. I'm going to be myself, Justin Silver, kicking ass, taking names for the South Jersey crowd. So make sure you come out to those shows. Me and Kim Congdon, April 12th, going to be in Connecticut. So I'm going to tweet that information out. I don't have a website anymore. I got to get a website. And you guys can purchase my special and album, either the special or the album or both, as of April 1st, GasDigitalNetwork.com, iTunes, Amazon, and everywhere else. Luis J. Gomez presents Luis J. Gomez. Guys, I'm very proud of this. We worked so hard on this. I love the way it came out. I think you guys are going to really, really enjoy it. If you like dark comedy, if you like dirty comedy, if you like comedy that you're not really getting anywhere in mainstream platforms, this is a great special. I think you guys will really, really enjoy it. So make sure you guys grab your copy of my album, Luis J. Gomez Presents LuisJGomez.com. You can get links everywhere right on that website. Okay, Kimberly Congdon. We don't really have to talk about this, but as we're talking about guns and gun control and being idiots.
You think I can throw a plug in?
Oh, yeah, plug, babe. Sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry, my love.
It's okay. I waited patiently. I didn't know if you were moving on or not.
Oh, today's St. Patty's Day.
It is?
That's fun.
What?
Cool.
All right. Follow me on Twitter at Kimberly Congdon and at Instagram, Kim Congdon. Check out my podcast, Broad Topics, you guys. It's so funny. It's me and Alex Scarlato, intern Alex, intern Skrillex, as you know her. It's Broad Topics with an X. It's super funny. I'm really into it. You can find that anywhere you find podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, YouTube.
Yeah, these girls are fucking funny as shit. You know, Alex is like under the radar hilarious. And you and Alex are legitimately really, really close friends. I got to get you guys back on the show together.
Yeah.
You guys got to do that more. So, look, I mean, there's not much funny to talk about with this New Zealand shooting. I think on Legion of Skanks, maybe we'll be able to find some funny in it. I'm relaxing in Jamaica.
I'm ignoring the deaths of others right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to anyway. It's sad. It's a sad thing, you know. 49 people, I guess, maybe
so
more at this
people.
Point, were murdered in New Zealand by, you know, I guess what would be considered a far right terrorist or some sort of like, you know, white supremacist terrorist. It's fucked up, dude. It's weird because I will say this much. It definitely. We've sort of come to a time where it's blended together. It feels like just terrorism. It doesn't, for me anyway, it doesn't feel like, I don't know. I look at it as the same, even though it's not this country, even though it's not my people, quote unquote. I'm not religious in any sense. But, you know, as New Zealanders, as Muslim people, it's not like an attack on any of my cultural or religious beliefs or anything like that. It does eerily feel like a 9/11 type of vibe, even though it also wasn't as big of a thing. You know, 9/11, there were so many people. It's the first time that something's happened overseas that I felt the impact this much. And I'm on a beach right now in Jamaica. You know what I'm saying? And it's just weird. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's just really fucking sad.
Crazy, though, because, like, the same day I read an article that, like, an airstrike killed, like, 35 people in somewhere in the Middle East.
Right.
And it's like...
That's technically... It's sort of the same thing,
yeah,
you know?
It's just...
You know, it's all fucking shitty over there, dude. It's all, I don't know.
It's shitty everywhere, though. That's happening here, too. Orlando, Pulse Nightclub, 50 people, I think.
Yeah, I know.
53 people. So it's like, it's shitty. It's just shitty.
The point that I'm making, though, is like, it doesn't feel like it's foreign. Maybe it's because I'm on a foreign land right now, and I'm not even on homeland in America. The whole thing just feels really like.
Well, it's also New Zealand's such a nice place, too. That's like a thing. It's like not a very violent place, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like fucked up that it's like all these people that live in a peaceful place. Like, we choose to live in America where it's like, well, every time I get on the subway, this could be the last time.
It's also, we're at a different time where social media is so prevalent. I mean, the guy videotaped it and live streamed it while he did it, which
what
is
a
fucking
sick fuck.
You know, and people have been posting shit. You know, I won't watch the video. I won't click on it.
Sponsored by Blue Chew.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I won't watch that. There's little kids being killed is something that, you know, I can't. We watched some fucked up shit on Legion of Skanks. We watched a beheading video on Legion of Skanks. We watched kids die on Legion of Skanks on that one episode of The Gauntlet. Ugh. And that's the one thing that really fucking gets me. And apparently in the video, there's little kids and families being shot. And, yeah, man, I don't know. I can't imagine hurting a kid, no matter how much no matter what the belief is. Like, if you're over 20 years old, right? You sort of come to anybody for the most part is sort of comes to the conclusion, like, all right, kids are a product of their environment. Kids are a product of, you know, the way they're raised. You can take a baby and put them into any culture and teach them anything, and they're gonna be that. You know, so anybody with a fucking brain on their shoulders. You know, even if you really believe deep down inside that you hate this culture and they're an evil culture, at the very least, you would spare children. You would go, no matter what, it's not this little kid's fault. You know, even if you have the most evil, fucked up thought in the world, at the very least, you would spare kids.
Well, that's
and
why
anybody
that does...
anybody who attacks kids in any way, it's just such a deeper level of fucking craziness because there's no free will for these kids. It's not like it's a war. Like, if you believe it's a war between you and this culture, it's like that's another crazy level of fucking psychosis. But for you to attack children, you're a legitimately evil person. Well, the guy didn't die, right? They arrested the guy?
I don't know. But anybody who attacks, anybody who just attacks adults praying in a church and that they believe in, don't already aren't thinking that those adults were children who were raised this way too. You know what I'm saying? They are already missing that piece of them where they're like,
yeah, but it's different because at least look, I'm not making the point that one's more right than the other. I'm just saying I can understand. I can wrap my mind around the crazy person who feels as if they're in a war with these other people. And, you know, a 30-year-old man has made, you know, at that point has made a choice. Even if they were raised a certain way, at that point, you still make a choice to, you know, continue to follow a belief or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That, whatever, I'm just saying, like, to attack, the point that I'm making, to look at a fucking kid and to pull a trigger, I can't wrap my head around it. I talk about peaceful parenting. I mean, Jesus Christ. I literally hope this guy, I hope his body is torn to shreds in prison. I hope they literally just take his body.
They should use a cheese grater on his skin.
They should just, I mean, to purposefully look at, I'm saying like, look, we do fucked up shit, dude. You're right. There's airstrikes around the world. Kids die, you know. Even then, I can kind of go like, yeah, dude, it's fucking casualties of war. These things happen. You know, they can't, they're not targeting, or I mean, I guess they do in certain cases.
Yeah, but this person had to physically see when you throw
you look in the fucking, you look in the eyes of a kid and you pull the trigger. Are you fucking, what type of evil are you in that person?
Like that dude that shot up the kindergarten class.
That was
the most disgusting thing. Newtown, Connecticut.
Yeah, it's horrible.
That was the most disgusting one I've ever experienced.
It's one of the things that I fucking, you know, it's one of the soft places that I have. I don't really have many soft places. You know, we talk about fucked up shit.
After this vacation, you got a few soft places.
I got a lot. Never mind. You're looking at my body.
You got a few new soft places, baby.
Here, baby, hold my stomach for a second.
I'm going to go get us more coffee. Hold my stomach.
I don't know, man. I can't. I don't want to spend any more time talking about it because it breaks my heart when yeah, when little kids are hurt. I don't know, dude. It really does. I sound like Michael Jackson. It really, these are quotes if I said Michael Jackson's voice.
Was it Lewis or Michael Jackson?
I'm definitely
That's a
fucking kids. There's no doubt about it. If you listen to this, they're just going to play all this back. And it's like, yeah, this guy fucks children, obviously.
My father was abusive.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's fucking sad. So, whatever, man. That whole situation sucks. Oh, you know what also sucks about it? I mean, the immediate political positions that everyone takes on it, like, I mean, the finger pointing at Trump. You know, Trump puts out a tweet saying his heart is with the fucking, you know, it's what the president's supposed to do, and it's like everybody's attacking him.
Look, but his heart is with the Browns.
But I understand the rhetoric, you know, that he's used, and I understand that this guy who did it said that Trump was an influence. But don't let troll culture take over. You can't blame people. You can't blame a political source for this guy.
I mean, if the guy's saying the president inspired me to do this or whatever he said, you can blame him.
No, because
yes,
hold on, let me say this. What about the kid who says Marilyn Manson inspired me to kill myself? Can I blame Marilyn Manson?
No,
it's stupid. Let me say this. That's stupid. The kid is stupid. That guy is stupid. And anybody who buys into that narrative is stupid. Okay? You can't let somebody point their finger and go, well, what if he just... I didn't read the manifesto, but apparently he named a bunch of sources as his influence, right? So you don't get to... I don't like people using that in a moment of fucking extreme sadness to go and turn it into a political stance and go, look, this is why we need Trump out of office, because he's inspiring things like this. It's like, no, this guy's a sick fuck.
Also, things happened before Trump.
Yes, this guy wasn't even an American citizen. There's been horrible...
The difference between Trump and Marilyn Manson, though, is Trump is the president of the United States, and Marilyn Manson is Marilyn Manson.
I don't know. I got to be honest with you. They're all just kind of fucking... it's not... You have to look at what happened there, and you have to say this is a sick fucking human being. It's not a political thing. It's not about politics.
No, he's sick. Yeah,
he's sick.
He took a rib out to suck his own dick.
He covered Annie Lennox. What are we doing here? Who was in this guy's head? All right, it's not a normal human. Okay, and I'm happy that we no longer listen to him. So moving on. Don't let anybody tell you you're not funny, Kim. You're a funny chick. Look, whatever. I don't want to make this a fucking political thing. The point I'm making is that everyone's making it a political thing. Everyone in that exact moment turns it into like, oh, look, this is the fucking world that Trump has created. And you're like, doggy, let's take responsibility for our own actions. Let's everyone take responsibility for our own actions. You can't. I don't believe whether Trump was in office or not. I think that this is a sick fuck who would have done some evil shit. You know? Yeah. Marilyn Manson.
I'm just thinking about when we were having sex the other night.
When? What did we do?
And I just gotten those braids done. And, I was like, hey, I gotta go get back to my parents' yacht. And you were like, how old are you? What did I say?
Oh, yeah. We were doing a little role play. And she had braids in. She had braids in. And I was like, hey, what's your name? She's like, Cindy Lou Who. So it turned into a Dr. Seuss fantasy.
When I role play, I'm not trying to be sexy.
I'm trying to be sexy as fuck, dude. I'm a Jamaican masseuse with a little dick, apparently.
And you asked me how old.
And then I was like,
how
old are you? And she's like, let's just say I'm 14. And then my dick went soft immediately.
What, Cindy Lou Who's supposed to be fucking 18 or over and be named Cindy Lou?
You know, the fantasy can be 17 as long as we're in a certain jurisdiction. Let's look up the law. Like, what, you know, get in as close to the line as possible.
When I said, let's just say I'm 14, you were like, so 14 at max?
Not even 14. She's definitely not 14. Let's just say 14 is not 14. That's 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not. I told you, I dated a girl that would have, like, baby fantasy. It was fucking ridiculous.
It's me.
No.
It's me, Cindy Lou Who.
No, this girl would act like she was 4. Ew. And then I couldn't do it. I was like, no way. Sorry. She would act like she's 4 and she'd want me to, like,
fuck her?
No, she'd want me to, like, buy her, like, dollhouses and, like, change her diapers.
Kind of like that.
You're fucking sick.
I feel like I'm a little bit of whatever
I wouldn't do that, though. Like, I never got there. She just started trying to get into that fantasy with me, and I was like, and then one time she was using, like, this baby voice the whole time, and I was like, so hot, yeah. She kept on using it, and I was like, all right, when are we going to be over this baby voice?
But, Dada.
Yeah, it was like that.
I went to, it's me, Cindy Lou Who. I got to fuck and then get out of here. Daddy Lewis? Please. Daddy Luhu?
Is there anything else going on in the world? We're so out of it. We're just in Jamaica.
That's dude, the thing. All about, I know is beef vacation. Patties right now.
It's like the world could be ending around us, and we're just here on the beach in Jamaica.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Come on.
Look, let's give a little bit of a review, because I know some people listen right now. Maybe some people are planning their own vacations. Mm-hmm. The villa versus the all-inclusive resort, Kimberly.
I mean,
what are we talking about?
It's like asking if you want to go to Applebee's for dinner or fucking and for steakhouse.
Yeah. Great analogy, babe. You crushed it.
Are you being sarcastic?
Oh, yeah. Pretty basic. Could have gotten a little deeper on that one, but I feel like we're really
Lewis
lazy
is just
today.
Fat and he likes Applebee's.
It's
that's
true.
Why.
Like, Applebee's, where? Is there an Applebee's around here? Now, look, overall, at the end of it, we're now on day 6. It's March 18th. It's the last day. Very, very sad.
Shh, don't talk about it. I'm pissed that we're doing this podcast right now on
it's okay.
1 hour of my last day.
It's okay, but we only got about 20 minutes left. We're all good.
Cocksuckers.
But it's been incredible. I mean, I will never do anything but a villa again.
Probably I'll never do anything but this specific villa again.
Maybe. It depends. Oh, we talked about that as well. So here's the thing. We talked about the pricing a little bit on the last episode as well, but I'll give you the overall breakdown. To do this vacation, you're going to spend roughly $5,000 to $6,000. Two people, this villa specifically. This what I'm saying, what we spent overall.
I would say $6,500.
No.
No?
Not even. Nope. Okay. I've gone to the ATM machine once since I've been here. We haven't paid for the food yet. I'll give you a breakdown right now. It was $3,000 for the actual villa.
But is it normally?
I'll break it down. So, we're such garbage too. We're talking about the money, but no, I don't give it.
We're real.
This isn't. I'm letting you know this is cheaper than you think it is. When I say villa vacation, I think people think it's like crazy unattainable.
They think it's like one of those things off in the docks.
Yeah. No. This is like. What we have is we have a private house on a property that has three private houses, one really big one, one small one, and then one medium one. We're in the medium-sized house that is actually a three-bedroom villa. But because it wasn't being rented out, they gave it to us for a discount because we're only using one of the bedrooms, me and you. So the other two bedrooms are just in the other side of the villa. We don't use them. It's a three-bedroom, three-bath. Each bedroom has their own bathroom. And so you could technically – it's basically $1,000 more for each bedroom. So if you were to do all three bedrooms in this villa, it would be $5,000. Between three couples, that's nothing. You're talking between three couples, that's $1,650. Okay, so now you're talking about $800 each without airfare for each couple to have your each person of three couples to have their own private villa. Now it's actually cheaper than an all-inclusive vacation. Okay, when you're talking about just that, just going now, your airline tickets are like $300 round trip if you're buying them far enough in advance. So $1,100 now. This doesn't include all your alcohol and food, but depending on how you do it, you don't have to spend that much money. Mm-hmm. Like we spent since we've been here on the private. Staff, they spent $700 at the grocery store on us. That's for an entire week of breakfast, lunch, and dinner, lobster, steak. We're having oxtail tonight. One night we had shrimp. Every morning.
There's not been one moment where I've even been slightly hungry.
And it's been incredible food.
Yeah.
Incredible food. So that's for us. Now, granted, if it was, and we have plenty. So, double that up for three couples.
And you also don't have to eat like that. You can order fucking PB&Js every day.
We've been fucking eating like animals, right?
If you wanted to just do the villa and get cheap food, you can order sandwiches.
I had a lobster roll for breakfast. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But I spent $700 on groceries that we've had for the entire week. Mm-hmm. Okay? So for us, forget the three couples. Just for us, $3,000 for the villa. That's what we spent. Okay? $700 on groceries. Because we bought the airline tickets late, we spent about $400 each on the round-trip airline tickets. So that's $800, $700, $1,500, $4,500. And then what we've spent on activities and things.
Yeah.
We're not even talking.
Another $400 maybe?
Probably a little bit more. I don't think you realize. Kim doesn't realize how much things cost. But another grand overall on everything. We're talking about airport travel.
I was like, what, $5-$10 more?
I'm talking about airport travel. The times we've gone off the villa and we've gone to a little bar over there. We had lunch over there one day.
That's true.
You know, yesterday I went and we got a fishing trip that was $200. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it maybe another grand on top of it. So, yeah, I think $5,500 is fair to say that we spent. $5,500 to $6,000 total. On this entire, I'm talking about private beach. There's nobody here. We're doing a podcast on our little stretch of beach.
We went in naked.
Well, that was another point you made that was great, where it's like when you're on, like we're here tomorrow until 9:30 a.m. We leave, but we get up every day at 6:30 on a resort. It's like a quarter mile to walk to the beach. You have to get out of the resort. You have to get out of certain sections. Sometimes
you have to wait for the elevators. The elevators at resorts, they take so fucking
long. You have to go to these different
long.
Sections. By the time you get down to the beach, you get set up, you get everything. You don't want to go back to your room at any point. That side of it's very annoying and inconvenient on a vacation. So this, we roll out of bed and we walk 25 feet later.
We don't even say anything to each other. If I don't see Lewis, I just assume he's at the beach.
And 25 feet later, 30 seconds later, you're on the beach with your feet in the water, warm water. If you just go in the opposite direction, you're at our pool. It is the experience, it's night and day different. So, yes, look, a fucking nice vacation is going to cost you a lot. You know,
it's like little things like even being at the beach where we're sitting out in the sun and we want another drink. It's like if you're at a resort, you'd go back up to the room, make another drink. You're in the AC now and you're cold and you're in your bikini.
Well,
at
the resort, you'd go to the bar and get a free drink.
Oh.
Good point, Bib. That's like your Applebee's analogy all over again.
Applebee's, two-for-one apps.
But no, that side of it. And then it's also very private. You're not sharing it with anybody. You're right. We were naked. We were swimming naked yesterday. We were just nowhere near anybody. The closest people are 100 feet away from us, you know, and it feels, I don't know, it just feels awesome.
They're
and
so far, they could barely see my titties.
So, but yeah, I mean, look, our resort by ourselves, it gets a little bit pricey, but for roughly $2,500 each, you get like a fucking luxury dream vacation. You're eating the entire week. You're doing everything.
They make you feel like a celebrity here. If you want a vacation where you feel like a celebrity.
If you were to split this with three people or two other couples, you can do this vacation for about $1,500 each pretty easily. And that's the price of an all-inclusive resort. That's the price of an all-inclusive for a nice all-inclusive resort, for a good one, right? For a full week at one, you're talking about $1,500 bucks. Six nights, without a doubt, okay? And that's not even a great one. That's an okay one. And this experience is 100 times better. The food is fucking great. The privacy is great. Every single aspect. The staff is fucking great. I can't even call them slaves with a straight face anymore. They're so nice.
They're so nice.
I thought I'd make no eye contact with them. Guys, I am making eye contact at least 30% of the time.
You know what, too? This vacation, the difference between this one and, like, resort vacations is, like, when you get back home from a vacation at an all-inclusive resort, you feel like you need a few more days to rest. Yeah. I feel, like, fully rested. I feel like we haven't been walking everywhere, and, like, we haven't left our villa, really, at all.
No,
anytime
not at all.
We need something, Dale comes through.
Yeah, Dale's our boy. He comes through.
And he just gets in his car, and we give him cash, and he goes and gets it for us.
Cheryl, Evelyn, and... Barbados, I don't know their names.
Oh, Lewis.
What? Bermuda Triangle. I call them places.
Stop, call the places please stop, the Caribbean. Please stop.
Hey, Trinidad.
Please stop.
Can I get some plantains?
Stop. I'm serious, stop.
Shut up, Kim. Stop being a pussy. Grow the fuck up.
All right, let me just take a moment and tell you guys about DHMDepot.com. I've been taking this, and this is a miracle drug for hangovers. I brought some with me to Jamaica. I've been drinking every day. I'm here in Jamaica now, and I'm going to tell you right now, it is making the biggest difference because I drink all day, every day. Day drinking is what gives me the biggest hangover, and I'm going to tell you right now, their Dicetin, it is the night and day difference. I feel like I did not drink at all. I take 2 before bed after drinking. It's got electrolytes and DHM, and I wake up good, ready to go, feeling refreshed. I swear to God, it doesn't even feel like I drank last night. DHM is found in the Japanese raisin tree, and it has been used in Asia for years. It enhances enzymes in the liver, responsible for breaking down alcohol and its toxic byproducts, blah, 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 bunch of nerdy shit. Look, it works. Go check it out, okay? No more headaches, no more nausea, no more brain fog or anxiety. It protects both your liver and your brain. Okay. Research has shown Dicetin reduces alcohol induced damage to the liver and brain. That's it, you fucking alkies. And this stuff really works. So once again, go to DHMDepot.com, DHMDepot.com, and use the promo code RAP10. Save 10% off. This is great if you like to drink, if you like to party. Go to DHMDepot.com and use the promo code RAP10. All right, where were we?
All right, let's see. We got a little bit more time left on the show, then I'm going to let Kim go swim in the ocean. Are we going to snorkel today, baby?
I'm dying to get this mic out of my face.
Just go then. You don't have to answer questions. I'll answer questions
about
myself.
I'll answer the damn questions.
We don't need you. Do you think the fans even want you here?
Oh, that was rude.
Sorry. Buddy C. Buddy wants to know, have you guys eaten any breadfruit or aki in Jamaica? How are they? Aki is what we had for breakfast. The saltfish and ecky.
Oh, we did have ecky.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
eggs.
It looks like eggs at first. And you're like, oh, what is this? But we had the national dish of saltfish and ecky.
It was really good.
It was unbelievable. It was delicious. Yeah, I didn't think I'd be a big fan of fish in the morning. And then they served it. It was great. I will tell you right now, festival, you got to get fresh festival. If you go to it's the best. It's like cornbread, basically. It's fried cornbread, and it is so good if it's made good. And the women here that make it, they're making us some now for breakfast. Today they're coming. By the way, I literally got up this morning and had a homemade lobster roll for breakfast, but they're also coming to make us like these guava donuts today, fresh fried guava donuts that they invented here. She said, you can only get them at your resort or at this villa, man. You can't get them anywhere
else. She's like, I invented it.
So if you have this anywhere, you know it came from me. What?
Can you stop doing the accent?
Yeah, I'm on.
Stop.
Lord,
and you know what the worst part is? Every time I tell him to stop, I can see him like getting fucking excited just to be annoying.
That's the sound of the police.
I can't even see. It's like a child when they fall and you go, and then they cry. He does that, but he acts dumb.
But the boy.
Okay. Stop, dude. Stop. Stop now.
Do you think that they don't deal with this all
stop.
Day?
Stop. It's so rude.
All day and all night, you don't think they deal with this?
Stop.
And I'm at least brown. Guys, we're gonna answer some questions here. Real Ass Podcast, live from Jamaica, part 2. Thank you guys for enjoying this. Audio only. Some dickhead posted a comment on the YouTube. He was like, you guys couldn't have set up an iPhone and sent some video? Pass. Like, first of all, you fucking weirdo. Who the fuck likes video? I don't even understand people who like video. Unless you're doing a heavy video show. Which we do on Real Ass Podcast. I'll say this show, we do a lot of video. Legion of Skanks, we do a lot of video. But if it's a show that it's just guys talking, like Rogan's podcast, where it's like they don't even show the videos on Rogan's podcast, why are you watching these dudes' lips move, you fucking weirdo? Like, what is wrong with you? Is that what it is? You want to watch a man's mouth move?
No pics of you swimming? Hard pass. Not real.
Not real ass. I'm not looking at your stomach. It's fucking crazy. I don't get it. But, yeah, I mean, look, if you're one of those weirdos who love video, you can subscribe at GasDigitalNetwork.com for every video on demand. No, some people really like it. And if it's a show that has a video element, this show does have a video element. So I do understand. But not while we're in Jamaica. We'd have an iPhone set up in our fucking faces. It doesn't make any sense, you fucking twit. So, yeah, but go to GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP. Get yourself a 14-day free trial. Every episode of The Real Ass Podcast on demand. Every episode of Legion of Skanks on demand. Every episode of Believe You Me Podcast on demand. Every podcast that I've ever done, basically, is on demand at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Plus bonus shows, pre-release on this show 4 days before it goes to iTunes or anywhere else. You get The Real Ass Podcast. You get the live chat, uncensored episodes, ad-free. Some people have been complaining about the advertisements on the show, but guess what, fuckfaces? You don't have to listen to the advertisements on the show, because the show is ad-free if you're a subscriber at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Make sure you use that promo code REP. Get a 14-day free trial. See if you like the premium service. God, I'm good. God, I'm good at this. No, babe, I'm not, don't do the wrap it up fucking symbol. She's I'm doing my podcast, so bro, if you don't want to be a part of it, go.
Get off. No, because I want to hang out with you, too. I don't want to go off by myself.
I'm not leaving my fans. I'm sorry, guys. This is why they don't like you, is because you try to take me away from them. They love me, and they want more of me, and you're just trying to push me into the abyss. Thank you. So, a couple more questions. Let's see. Kimberly Congdon, did you think I was going to propose this trip? The real Brando.
No.
No, she does. She did this the other day. Like, I was having a romantic moment, and I was like, babe, this is so great. I really love you. I love spending time with you. You're my best friend. It's like incredible. I love. And she goes, are you going to propose? And I was like, if I was going to, like, literally, if my hand was on the ring, I would put it back in my pocket at that exact moment.
I wouldn't ask if I would think you were really going to.
You wouldn't ask.
I wouldn't ask. I wouldn't say anything if I thought you were actually going to propose.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, all right, let this fag say his little
speech. But this is her problem. This is what she does. And this is what women do. They ruin it because she does this all the time. She'll be like, why haven't you bought me flowers in a while? And then I'm like, well, guess what? Now the clock starts over, bitch. Now you're not getting flowers for a long time.
You should have seen Lewis's face one day. I got him flowers, and I brought them home and pretended that someone sent them to me at work. Ugh. Man, it was a good moment.
She's like, you sent them to me. Shut up. You pretended they were, you thought they were from me?
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what? Let me see, huh? And then there was a moment where I was going to pretend they were from me because they didn't have a card on them. So there was actually a genuine moment where I was like, I'll just say that. I'll take credit. Fuck it. And then good thing I didn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good thing you didn't.
Yeah, but you can't bring up the flower thing because then I can't buy you flowers for a while. So you can't bring up the marriage proposal. No. It's not an original idea. That it looks like you've triggered the idea.
I don't care. It needs to be triggered. Because there's been times where I've been like, you haven't bought me flowers in a while. He's like, well, now you don't get flowers for 6 months. 8 months later, we're walking by flowers every day. They're fucking $2.
Nope.
Still no flowers.
You're in a...
It shouldn't restart for 8 months.
You're in Jamaica right now. This is your flowers. Welcome to flowerhood.
I want more flowers.
I know you do. See, that's the problem. It's never enough. The other thing is, like, I'm not forcing romance. So, like, on Valentine's Day, this is her whole fucking thing that I didn't do anything special for Valentine's Day.
He's like, I got you a trip to Jamaica.
Yeah. That's why I bought her.
But give me, like, a card.
By the way, on Valentine's Day, I bought her a trip to Jamaica.
No, you didn't on Valentine's
Day.
Wasn't
on Valentine's Day? No. It's close.
See, but it doesn't matter. I wanted flowers. $5. $5.
Yeah, but why
can't... It's not like I'm asking for a lot.
But I'm romantic in life. I'm romantic in other areas. I'm romantic when it actually counts, when it's not expected on February 14th.
I want flowers.
Do you get what I'm saying? You ruin it.
No.
You ruin it.
No, I don't ruin it.
Next question.
Guys, tweet at me if you think you should get me flowers. In at him.
You have to choose one. Mitch Hedberg or Stephen Wright? Hey, bitch. She's cutie. You got to choose one. Mitch Hedberg or Stephen Wright, babe?
I don't know who Stephen Wright is, so Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah. Stephen Wright's a, like, what's considered a, living legend, Boston deadpan comedian.
He's dead?
Hey, bitch. No, he's a living legend, baby.
Oh.
I think Stephen Wright's alive. I'm almost positive he is. I don't think Stephen Wright died.
Oh, he sounds very legendary. You're not even sure if he's breathing or not right now.
Yeah, but that's a lot of legends, you know? Like Richard Pryor, I got to remind myself every day if he's alive or dead.
I know.
Yeah, like a lot of these guys, you don't
that's
know.
True.
Carlin, like, you know.
Is Carlin dead?
Carlin's dead, oh yeah.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Who knew? R.I.P.
Let's go. Babe, this version of
Dead
does,
or Alive.
Does he live or does he die? Let's go with legendary comedians. Ready, Ben?
Okay.
Legendary comedians. There we go. All right, babe. Ready? Let's do it. All right, so we did George Carlin, Richard Pryor, Robin Williams.
Dead.
Don Rickles.
Dead.
Yep, you guessed that one, though.
I did.
You did. I saw you guess. I watched your eyes guessing. It was crazy. Lenny Bruce.
Alive?
Come on, baby. Really?
I have no idea who Lenny
Jesus
Bruce is.
Jesus Christ. Let's go Bob Newhart.
Alive.
I have no idea. I think he died recently. Did Bob Newhart die?
This is a sad list.
This is fucking
People
crazy.
People are also going to be like, Kim didn't know who Don Rickles is. How are you a comedian? This is why
Newhart's
women aren't funny.
Still? Fuck off. Dude, Bob Newhart's alive, 89 years old.
If you think I have to know famous comedians to be a funny comedian, you are in the wrong,
yeah.
Just by the way.
Yeah, no, you don't
it's
have to.
It's not fucking...
Well, it's also the type of thing where it's like...
I'm not a fucking historian.
Can I say a comedy is more like this, right? It's much closer to sport in this regard, right? I don't think that a basketball player today would need to study what basketball players of the 1960s did because they are
different.
So... It's such a different game. The advancements that have come and the progression and the evolution of the sport, it's almost like detrimental. It's not detrimental. I shouldn't say that. You can watch it for entertainment, but they don't compare. I'm sorry. You're not going to sit here and fucking tell me that, you know, George Carlin or Richard Pryor or Lenny Bruce. Let's go even further back. Lenny Bruce makes you laugh as hard as somebody like fucking Big J. I'm not saying Big J is a better comedian or more. I'm saying that the times have changed. We've turned certain things on its head. What's funny to you and what shocks people, and you know, a lot of comedy is misdirection. So turning that corner is a much different thing than it used to be, you know? And to make people think that way and to make them laugh, and you have to be a much more skilled comedian today than you had to be back then.
It's like that hack joke, like, oh, I just flew in from Worm, and boy, are my arms tired. It's like, if you heard that back then, you'd be like, holy fuck.
That guy
nailed
it.
He flew in, but he meant his arms.
Yeah.
And now you're like, yeah, people do misdirections all the time. What's the funniest one?
The level has changed. So I agree with you to a certain degree. It's like, people say that all the time. Like, I don't pretend that, like, I'm a big Mitch Hedberg fan. I got to be honest with you. When I listen to Mitch Hedberg's comedy, I'm like, it's pretty basic. These are tweets. I, in my opinion, I write tweets as good as a lot of what Mitch Hedberg's stand-up was.
Oh, you're going to get it for that one.
I don't give a fuck. It's true. Everyone does. Go look at Mark Norman's Twitter.
Yeah.
Mark Norman's Twitter is objectively funnier than Mitch Hedberg's stand-up set. I don't know what you want me to say. And it's what it was is he really wrote. I'll pull up Mitch Hedberg jokes. And this, maybe I will get roasted for this. I just never really found Mitch Hedberg to be that unbelievably funny. Let's see. Jokes. Mitch Hedberg jokes. Maybe I'm fucking wrong. But look, comedy's subjective.
Or I'll pull up Mark Norman.
I legitimately think that, Eddie Murphy holds up today. But I think that's as far back as it goes, and some of it doesn't. If you listen to Eddie Murphy's Faggot Bit, the first track on Eddie Murphy's first album is called Faggots. It's so funny, like what a different time we live in. And I think that, you know, but a lot of it still holds up, but a lot of it doesn't. I think it's just the times. Let me see, 50 great Mitch Hedberg jokes. I like to take a toothpick and throw it in the forest and say, you're home.
Mark Norman, plants and animals in your house are only nice if they're intentional.
Yeah, it's the same shit.
Yeah.
Also, I don't want to read Mark Norman tweets. They're going to be bad when we just read them. Nobody laughs.
Aha! You have to do that. Fucking. You know, Mark Norman's voice sounds like he ate a lot of Skittles. You know, when your spit gets like thick. Like that.
Yeah. I saw this wino who was eating grapes. It's like, dude, you have to wait. I mean, it's kind of clever. I mean, it's just you're talking about like what I look at as this would be a Twitter account. That's all this would be.
Yeah, I'm glad he's dead.
I'm sick of following my dreams. I'm just going to ask them where they're going and catch up with them later.
No.
Swear to God, this
that's
is,
not one.
This is a list of 50 great Mitch Hedberg jokes.
No.
Dogs are forever in the push-up position.
What a genius.
When I was on acid, I would see things like beams of light, and I would hear sounds that sounded awful like a lot of car horns. Yeah, I mean, they're just, I think Bigfoot is blurry. That's the problem. It's not the photographer's fault.
Okay, I like that one. I like that one. Bigfoot being blurry is really funny.
A severed foot is the ultimate stocking stuffer. Like, that's a great tweet on Twitter. Today, these work on Twitter, and they're just a good account. That's all it would be. He'd win, like, best comedian Twitter account.
Yeah, he'd get, like, one of those write-ups, like,
yeah.
25 Twitter accounts you got to follow right now.
Mitch Hedberg, young comedian.
Young and rising, new faces, Mitch Hedberg.
And look, but maybe it's for his time. Maybe it was so fucking, I don't know. It just, in my opinion, it just was never what got me. And it wasn't because he didn't die. He died in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't even like that long ago. Like, Gaffigan made me laugh a lot harder than that. You watch Gaffigan. Gaffigan's squeaky clean. You know, Gaffigan, his stand-up act from the same time that he was developing that Hot Pocket Hour just fucking made me buckle over laughing. So I think most people would consider Mitch Hedberg to be a better comic than Gaffigan, or definitely more legendary, more influential, whatever it might be. Gaffigan just made me laugh harder. What do you want me to say?
Okay.
All right. Let me see if we have one more question that we can go. Let's see. This is a great question. Perfect. You guys got any scams that work in Jamaica? Mopping Steve wants to know. Okay. So we are about a 10-minute walk down the beach from a resort. And all you have to do, okay, and it worked twice. Okay, you got to just walk over to the resort, act white, walk over to the resort bar.
It's easier if you walk in from the front of the resort, to be honest.
Look, we were removed from said resort. Sometimes you get caught with this scam. So what happened was we were walking to the resort and we realized that, like, they don't really check anything. If you're not, like, a Jamaican, they're not going to, like, check to see if you go there. So one time we walked up to the bar, we got a free drink. We're like, fuck it, let's do this. And then I was like, every day we just walk over here and get more drinks just for the fuck of it. We have a bunch of rum in the kitchen. We have a bunch of beer. We don't need the free drinks. But
by the way, this was mostly Lewis. This was me going,
who cares?
It's so fun for me.
It's thrilling.
And that was what Lewis was saying.
It's thrilling. Okay? It's thrilling to fucking scam every once in a while. So then one time we went over and the bartender came over and we actually put the drink orders in. And then out of my peripheral, I saw security walking toward us. And then I stopped. I was like, hey, you know what? No, we don't want any drinks. Don't worry about it. He was like, you sure? I was like, no drinks. And then the security came over to us. And it was like, hey, what room are you guys in? I was like, oh, no, we're staying at the villa. We're meeting friends over here. It was like, you can't be here. And we're like, oh, no, we're not. We're just sitting here. We just told him we don't want any drinks. He asked us if we wanted drinks. And I just fucking played it dumb and yet smart. And then Kimberly is mortified as we're being removed. And in my mind, I'm going, who fucking cares?
It's just like, we don't need the free drink. We don't need to be physically.
That's why I'm not mortified.
Yeah, but we don't need to be physically removed.
They didn't physically touch me.
They walked us out of the bar all the way down to the edge water until the edge of the property.
Did they touch me?
And then Lewis kept being like, I would tell that man off after we left. Like, oh, I'm going to go back and get another one, but not doing anything. It was fucking embarrassing. Let him, like, be a real-ass dude and pretend it was all real. It was embarrassing.
No,
we look like chumps.
Can I tell you why
Lewis
it was embarrassing?
Fucking,
can I tell you why it wasn't?
Lewis is acting like he was like, oh, we don't care. But he was like, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's not true.
Right out, sir.
That's not true. Let me tell you why I didn't care. Because
Dale's laughing at you from the pool.
That's not true. Dale, don't listen to her. She's
true.
An asshole.
Yeah, he's a bitch.
Let me explain to you why, okay? Because I could have easily went to that resort.
No.
We could have easily chosen that vacation instead. We chose not to. We chose a better experience. So if I want to go and grace their presence with my fucking amazing fucking personality and celebrity, then guess what? They get to have me for that moment. So you're welcome, resort.
No.
And that's the point that I had made.
No.
Was that I'm above.
No.
I'm above everyone at the resort and the
Bro,
men who works there.
You got
there.
Walked out like a bitch.
Nope. I chose to walk out.
No, dude.
If
no.
I wanted to.
He looked like he got spanked on true. The ass by the security guard. He was like, oh, no, we're just meeting some friends here.
Can
that's
I
what
tell
he said.
You?
He's like, we've been meeting friends here every day.
This is everyone knows the Scam That Jew segment knows this. If you get caught, you don't need to be embarrassed about getting caught in a scam, okay? If you have the money for it, okay, and you know deep in your heart of hearts you could have afforded to purchase whatever
it was.
It's
still embarrassing.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
It's only embarrassing if I couldn't afford it.
No,
if I
it's
didn't
not.
Have the
they
money
don't
in my
know.
Pocket,
it looks like you can't
I
afford it.
I could buy him and sell him right
no,
now.
No,
yes,
but
I
yeah,
can.
But you can't. But it doesn't matter. They can't see that. All they see is two Puerto Ricans trying to get a free
nope.
fucking alcohol-free pina colada.
Yeah, but do you understand? I'm right, though. Stop for a second. Forget the perspective for a second from their perspective, your perspective. I'm right. I could easily buy, hold on, easily buy a day pass to that resort right now. Easily. Hold on. With no questions.
I get it. You can buy a pass to a resort.
But I won't because I don't want one.
Okay.
I don't want
Does
one.
Does being right matter if nobody thinks you're right?
Everyone thinks I'm right. There's fucking 30,000 people listening to this podcast right now that think
no,
I'm right.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not
Maybe
talking about 20, your fans.
20,000 think.
No.
So seven people at a resort, some fucking fat Canadians, don't think I'm right. Yet everyone else listens and goes, oh, shit, he is actually right. He's right. He could go there.
It doesn't matter.
It's like if a king comes into a town and he takes his peasant's daughter and rapes her. It's like,
what?
Yeah, he gets
You're
to.
You're fucked up.
He gets to.
I'm done.
He's the king.
Goodbye. I'm leaving.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to today's Real Ass Pod. He's the king. Goodbye. I love you, babe. Thanks for listening to the Real Ass Podcast. We'll be back to our normal schedule. I'll be back in town tomorrow, the 18th of March, and we have a live Legion of Skanks. I'll have a live Real Ass Podcast in the afternoon. I'm going to be working out some stuff to make that happen for you guys. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I'll see you guys in the States. Peace.